But our opening scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 7. In verses 38 and 39, John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, and I know for sure that for most of you, this is not really new to you. But it is a wonderful reminder of when we read the scriptures and we read the four gospels, we often think about why Jesus had to spend so much time reteaching or re-reminding the disciples. And Jesus had more than 12. I can show you where he had 70. Always reteaching them or reminding them of the blessings and their covenant promises, but it didn't go anywhere with them because of this fact, which we'll get to. Verse 38, "He that believes on me, as the scripture has said." That's really important. I cannot read that and go another word further. Not as the National Geographic Channel says, not as the History Channel says, not as every church on every street corner says, not as every pastor says, not as the Quran says. It says, "He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said." How powerfully true that is. The true vine. Jesus said he was the true vine. If there's a true vine, then there must be a false vine. We want the true vine. And Jesus had this promise to say, "He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Now, I had the New King James Version because it said of his belly, it says your heart, but it's your innermost being, you, the spirit man, the real you on the inside of the earth suit. You that believe, out of your belly, out of your heart, out of your spirit, will flow rivers of living water. And I'll come back to that. And then John said, "But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, I've had conversations with different people that it's almost like they never realized this little tiny little footnote was in here that John himself spoke. The fact that the Holy Spirit has always been present on this earth from creation, but he did not indwell the believer because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. Once the work of the cross happened and Jesus ascended to the Father, then the Holy Spirit was sent to indwell the believer. And so when we see the disciples and we see those that believed on Jesus, they were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. They couldn't be born again yet. So they're still of the spirit of the world, even though they say they're following Jesus. They didn't have the faith to believe him for what he was and who he was. The Spirit hadn't come yet to indwell them. And so this river of living waters is the life of the Holy Spirit that's available to every believer. In all situations, in every situation, there is a measure of life that's given to us as believers that is unlike anything that we've ever known or ever could possibly have until we're born again. But this is very true. They did not have the Spirit yet that indwelled them. And so when you're reading your Bibles, you don't find the disciples being born again until John chapter 21. And then you see, this is just a spontaneous connection, my little rabbit trail. I've been away, I've been chasing woodchucks, now we come back to them. John chapter 20, in verse 22, and this is after Jesus was resurrected, and he's talking to his disciples, and I want you to be thinking about when God created Adam. And the word says that he breathed on them the breath of life. After he created them, he breathed life into them and they became a living being. Well, now here's Jesus afterwards, and he says that when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That is such a precious connection to those verses from verse 7, because John is writing, until Jesus is glorified or he's been resurrected from the dead, they could not receive the Holy Spirit to indwell them. Here's the first, and I've never found another scripture that I could even come close to finding in the four Gospels, and I think it's really significant that I believe this is where the disciples were born again, where they were actually infilled with the Holy Spirit. And you don't hardly ever hear anybody talking about that when you read the four Gospels. In our Bibles, it says New Testament, but this is when it started. Amen. Not before they got saved, but after they got born again. And the church became a living, breathing organism. And then you see them in the book of Acts, where they already got the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened in the upper room. So you see two separate Holy Spirit experiences. So that's really important if you are ever questioning about when they got saved, when the Holy Spirit came, how it was given, who received it, and also the fact that if this was all there was, then why did they get more in the upper room? You see, they received the Holy Spirit, but then at the end, Jesus said, "Now you stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high." And then you see the fullness of the Holy Spirit poured out upon them with tongues and prophesying, and all of the gifts of the Spirit became available to them, and the life of the Spirit fulfilled what Jesus said back in John chapter 7 and verse 38, "Out of your innermost being, rivers of living water will flow." It isn't just the tongues. That's really important, being able to speak the language of the Spirit. But the power that's available, the anointing that's available, the call that's available, the enabling, empowering of the Spirit to do the supernatural things of God, just like Jesus said to his disciples that they would do greater works than he, because he goes to be with the Father. But he said, always said, but it's the Father in him that does the work. And Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit as being a comforter. They were comforted by Jesus for 3.5 years, but he said, "I'm checking out, but I'm going to send you another comforter, one that will take my place. And he will be with you forever and will abide in you." And he said the world can't know him, and they don't know him because they can't see him. The world is all touchy-feely. 5 physical senses. You'll never see the Holy Spirit if you're only looking for him in your 5 physical senses. It's a revelation of the same Spirit that reveals his presence. And you know, you all know that you have the Spirit, because he bears witness with the word that you do. And there's just a knowing inside that we don't have until we're born again. And all of this river of living water, every time you speak, you have the ability to speak words of life to people, words of hope to people, words of comfort, words of encouragement, words of blessing. Stay away from that Christian gossip circle that meets at McDonald's every day of the week. Get the hell out of that place. There, I said it. Stay away.
All right, Pastor.
Forget the Big Mac. Or you can have the Big Mac, but get the big Jesus. Every week, things filter back to me about the Christian Gossip Club that meets at McDonald's every day during the week, usually between 8 and 11, generally. What a waste. Do you think God is pleased with that?
No.
If that's where you're going to get your news, man, oh man, there's very little hope that you're going to hear anything good. Rivers of living water, words of hope and encouragement and thanksgiving and praise and worship and adoration. The power to witness. The power to lay hands on the sick. Why not, if you're going to go in there and gossip, why not just go lay hands on somebody sick and believe God for healing? And start a new rumor. I laid hands on that person and she got healed. Wow, what a new rumor to start. But there's no juice in that. There ain't no fun in that. People aren't going to throng you and get all excited if you don't have the latest little story to be telling. Rivers of living water, not a little stream, not a little trickle. Rivers. The life of the Spirit. You have that on the inside as a believer. What a great advantage. Oh my, it'll just take you to places that you only dreamed of going. And I'm not just talking about geography and the earth is flat or the earth is round. I'm talking about taking you to places spiritually that are way above. Paul talked about these beggarly elements of this world. They're so limited and so bound, and they take offense to everything, and you can't even whisper without offending somebody. I'm offended that they're offended. But I gotta live with that. And so do you. I want to bring you some more words of comfort this morning, and encouragement and hope. Keep your faith up there where it should be. And I think about all of the signs of evil that we're seeing in our times, but we don't necessarily want to get caught up in just noticing something. We have something that's been given to us from the Lord. And so I'm going to do something you wouldn't think it's too strange, those of you that have known me a pretty long time. But I'm actually going to read something to you, line by line and verse by verse. And just that's going to be this morning from the Lord. I borrowed it from Him to read to you. But you, of course, may read it with me as well if you like, for your own marking in your word. I really strongly believe that the Lord confirmed this after our closing song of worship. And it's Psalm 91. And how timely and how perfect this is for such a time as today. Psalm 91. Can you imagine I might be able to read 16 verses without stopping? Boy, gotta have an extra piece of pie for that if I make it. We're doing good. And I just want you to be thinking about where we are privileged to go. Where is our hiding place? Where is our place of covering? Where is our place of protection? What is it that God has provided for us? And really make this personal today. As I read this, just kind of follow along and put your name in there. You see, in verse 1, he that dwells, you could say me that dwells or I that dwell. And then all of the psalm and the Holy Spirit is such an assurance, such a confidence in the covenant that you have with the Lord, that maybe you might not have read it like this and seen some things that He will show you today. Psalm 91, starting in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be a terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. nor for the pest walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you, or nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil be, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hand, thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I might not be done. No, I really, really strongly, I don't want to add or take away from anything that was just read. This is so powerful. And how often at night so many people go to bed in fear and they worry about tomorrow. But you know, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And you, every one of us, we're overcomers in him. And every one of these precious promises, if you'll take each verse yourselves, break them apart like I'm quite apt to do, and look for what the Spirit of God is really saying to you today. And there's no way you can leave this place and not feel encouraged and remind the Lord himself how much he loves you, he cherishes you, he cares for you, he provides for you, he protects you and keeps you. Just like your chickens, gang, when they were babies. Now we're little chickies in the Lord, and he just has just got us so covered, so protected. And we can be the people of peace that he's called us to. I did it. Yes. Oh my. It's a struggle because in the beginning when I first got saved, I remember never having a Bible, never wanting one, and how hungry I was after I got saved, and I just had to read it over and over and over and over and over and over. And finally, I began to realize, wow, that's good. That's good to do that. But did any of it get down on the inside of me? And that was a real question I asked myself. I'm getting into the Word, but is the Word getting into me? And I had to learn biblical meditation. Eastern meditation is you just empty your head and hope the devil don't show up. Because your brain's empty then. They want you just to empty everything. But biblical meditation is taking that Word in and meditating on it, mulling it over, pondering it, thinking about it, until it becomes a part of who you really are. And when I started reading like that, I wasn't so much concerned about how many verses I read in a day, how many chapters I read in a week, but did what I read get down inside of me? And that's why I think I could do a seminar just on Psalm 91, and we could probably take a week easily. There is so much meat there. Yes, Joanne.
A little over 10 years.